knowing the importance of the work that we do, the fact that we really change lives, we change people, you know, we change outlooks, we add something to people's lives that can't be removed, can't be erased. It's a real emotion that you're sharing with them and that they feel it and they take it out of there. That's why people come to the theater. They come to be transported, transformed. They come to be changed. And once you accept that responsibility as an artist, you're going to get the work that's meant for you to get. You're going to change the people that are meant for you to change. And you're going to be changed in doing that, and you're going to be filled up.
Welcome, welcome, welcome back to The Fade. I am your wonderful host, Brandon Morgan, and I'm sitting here with our illustrious guest, Mr. Timothy Eric, my friend, my mentor, just a consummate professional, somebody who is always good at the thing that he does. If you have ever seen this man on stage, then I think you already know what I'm talking about. His knowledge of just the business and the work is just vast and depth. I don't know what else to say, but yeah,
I don't know who you're talking about. I'm like, this dude is dope.
Yeah, who is that dude? They said his name was Tim. I was like, okay, cool. Thank you for coming down.
Man, thank you for having me, man. I'm glad to be here.
The pleasure is truly mine. Like, absolutely. I don't think people realize, like, how many people I get to sit down and talk to that just give me free game while I'm sitting there. Even though I'm talking back to them, I'm just, you know, get to soak it up. So I'm just eternally grateful. And I can sit down and talk to some people that I mostly would much rather talk to on the other daily basis outside of a microphone and camera.
For real.
Glad to have you here, man. Thank you, brother. So, for the people who may not know you or what you do or what you are, regardless of what I know, I don't want to keep pumping you up, but you still can. This is the platform to do it. Tell everybody everything you did. Be proud of every single thing. Let them know. And if they ever ask you, tell them go click on the YouTube and they can find out what you did.
Right.
For anybody who don't know, you know, just let them know who you are, where you're from, what you got.
Born and raised in Houston, Texas. Okay. Went to Lamar High School with the Texas Southern, the only university, you know, worth mentioning in the state of Texas, you know, HBCU, you know.
Okay.
I know I'm sitting across from somebody.
Yeah, I know that.
I think differently about that university because you went there. You know what I mean? Because of you. I love that rivalry. Born and raised here. I'm celebrating this year 30 years of professional acting.
Man,
30 years. In high school, probably in church, like a lot of, you know, a lot of actors exposed to performing arts through the church, and was recruited by the late Dr. Pollard, Dr. Diane Jimison Pollard, recruited me to Texas Southern, and I was still skittish about joining, you know, becoming a major, and then finally became a major, and after the bug bit, and it's been a ride, man. You know, I actually finished from Texas Southern with a technical theater degree. Theater track. So some folks may, you know, a lot of people I've worked with on a technical level, I did that to pay bills and do the acting on the side, you know. But after a while, it was just too, acting, I loved it too much. And I was, you know, I was actually have been in a lot of house jobs. I guess we had technical theater. That was master electrician over at Color Performance Hall.
Okay.
And then the technical director at the Rice Opera School of Music for a time. And then I finally landed at Miller Outdoor Theater.
Okay, yeah.
And, you know, after a while, it's like, man, I got to get back to stage because the house jobs are great because it's, it pays a lot of money and all that. I was doing real well in that field, but, man, I missed acting terribly. So, moved into administration at Miller Outdoor Theater, working underneath the general manager out there, and I was able to get back into acting. So it's kind of been, you know, two things going on at the same time now. for a long time. But that's me. I've done, I don't know, about 20, 25 productions, you know, since I became union. I got my union card in 2000, I think, 2001, something like that. You know,
I'm sure you've done more than about 25 productions, though, right?
I guess I like at residential regional theater.
And then I
toured with Celeste Bedford Walker's Camp Logan and Thomas Melanson's Diary of a Black Man.
Shout out Melanson.
And Whatever Happened to Black Love? Okay. Those toured internationally, and we took Diary over to to London.
Man,
and
that's what's up.
So I got to see a lot of the country and a lot of the world. I've just been really, really blessed, man.
It's been
a hell of a ride.
So speaking of those blessings, you know, not to pry too much, but you know, just give me a little background. Like what is the life of Tim from little Tim to big Tim now?
Little Tim.
To wrap it up from here to there.
What's
that journey like?
I've always been inquisitive, about how things, that's where the technical stuff comes from. I was always inquisitive about how things work. You know, I took apart my toys all the time to make sure how they work. The technical stuff has always been kind of a thing for me. I probably loved singing and wanting to be an R&B star more than an actor back in the day.
Not
much there, man. I started a beautiful family in 1999, that's been the blessing, man. It's watching my kids get big, and so now they all moving on and getting on out of the house, or wanting to get out of the house. And so now it's a new chapter in my life, kind of ushering its way in. So it's been a challenge to kind of meander through that as an artist, and all that. But no, I you might have to ask me something specific, brother, because, I'm just not, I write and, and I'm a creative, but I'm probably more of a tortured creative than anything else, a tortured artist. So I don't do as much as I probably would like to do. But when I commit, I go all in, I commit.
That's agreeable. So in the world of writing, Fade to Black, the entire idea of Fade to Black is centered around Black African American playwrights. And so let's just go into like your involvement into Fade to Black and like where that started and where you see that going, further.
The very first time working with Fade to Black, I was directed a piece that was written by Nate Jones.
Nate Jones.
Yeah,
man.
Sunny Day in Chicago. And then after that, it was we directed Kinship, which was written by Doctors Barbara and Carlton Millett. She's the late Dr. Barbara Millett now. And then after that was State. And I don't remember the playwright's name.
King Green, I believe. King Green. So I actually happened to be in one or two of those directed,
we worked together. What was the name of that theater, dude? When they did the play. Never mind. I'm telling you, it's bad now.
I've done so many. I'm still sitting which one? Because I probably don't remember either.
When I first directed you.
Somewhere, man.
But I've submitted a play. I can't remember the year. Switchback. They talked about work strike, labor issues and stuff like that. I'm sitting in an auto parts store. So I mean, it's been a really productive relationship. They provided a vehicle for writers. It was right on time, because you get the venue, you get a whole plethora of talented actors who are hungry and are ready to do the craft. And so you You can put that script down, mm-hmm. and they, you know, and they chose the script out of a lot of them. So that's just getting into the festival is an accomplishment, sure, you know. So it's been amazing, really, man. Because you get to work out those muscles that you just don't normally get to work out as a writer, even though the 10-minute format and it's a genre unto itself, but still. Yeah. Just the art of crafting some language and a message and a theme in your work, and then seeing that come to life on stage, that's invaluable to a writer, to help them on their way, and even for an experienced writer and a published writer, it's still good to meet new artists and meet new actors and that kind of thing. So Fade to Black's been amazing, man. And I hope, that down the line we'll still work together, I enjoyed the directing, I enjoyed meeting all the actors. I mean, it's always been just a whole lot of fun. Yeah. Whole lot of fun.
So Tim, me personally, man, sitting here with you, man, I've been a fan and an admirer of you and your work. Like I mean since forever. Like, man, I can't even really think of the time other than like the beginning times of when it was. And like, I seen you in so many shows, like I can't even begin to like count half of them that I've personally seen. Mm-hmm. But the one that just leaves the indention was Ma Rainey. And I'm sure like everybody else who saw it, they were like, man, you like it was just magical watching you like up there, I'm sure we all can agree, man. It was just a magical moment, like watching you do the work,
Let me first say, from you, brother, I really appreciate that, man. Because Brandon, you're amazing talent.
I'm trying, man.
Beast of an actor, man. Yeah. And I admire your work as well. Watching you up there doing your thing is so coming from you, man. Yeah. That means a lot.
Thank you very much.
But yeah, man. Levy is heavy, man. heavy, I think. Probably of late, my, most memorable, just a favorite, a personal favorite. But he's a heavy guy. Yeah. You got to go deep to get into it and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing production with great artists, in that production. Eileen Morris directed that and she's just about to complete the cycle of all 10 of the plays.
Let's get into that now. You are currently
in piano lessons. Second time doing the production. We're running, we got one more weekend left. Doing Whining Boy. I saw that play early on, like we talked about technical theater work early. I was the light board operator on the play that they did over at Texas Southern University while they were renovating the ensemble theater. And that's when I first got into, doing technical work, doing technical work and lighting, and with learning consoles and stuff. That was the play.
Man.
Alex Morris, who's in Piano Lesson with me now, was Boy Willie. Sterling Vappy played Whining Boy. Ray Walker played Doka. It was a hell of a show. Just to see them mount that show in Texas Southern, saw your auditorium. Yeah. We were rigging electrics and all kinds of stuff going on. It was a full-on production. Another one of those things that just inspires you. This is where I want to be. Yeah. This is what I want to do. It's weird. I did the show in 2003 at the Ensemble Theater and played Boy Willie. So it is weird now being in the show in a different role. That's never happened to me before.
It's funny that you say that because I sat down and talked to Eileen for a little while, and she did say something that I've never really, it never really registered to me. She was like, when you read August Wilson's plays, there's a role for you, throughout your entire life.
Career,
in all of the plays. you can be a child, you can be a 70 or 80-year-old woman. There's a role in each one of those plays from your birth to, adulthood. I was like, Yeah. Like, man, like, yeah, you are right. Like, there is a role at each stage of life in, yeah, in this cycle, man.
That's right.
I just thought that was an amazing little nugget she dropped.
It's in there. And yeah, I mean, you know, and you get the role that's meant. I mean, mm-hmm, you know, my mantra is the role finds its actor.
Amen.
You know, and so, you know, it'll those roles out there will hit you at, yeah, a time when you need them, yeah, you know. Yeah. And so, yeah, Wine and, yeah, Boy is hitting me right at the time
man,
I need it.
It's great, bro.
You know,
look, we already talked about, yeah, how I felt your performance was. You know, I definitely gave you your graces because it was definitely
fun.
Hilarious, man.
Fun stuff.
I know y'all had fun out there, man.
It's the most fun because I'm usually playing some pensive, you know, terse.
Yeah, something like you said, something real heavy.
Something heavy, you know what I mean? Yeah. So it was really, I was nervous about it because I'm like, man, I don't know if I have comedic timing. I haven't done this in a while, man. I ain't done a comedy for a minute. It's been nice, man. Yeah, and our piano lesson is amazing.
Yeah.
August is an amazing writer. Mm-hmm. You know, if any actor, please, if you can, you know, audition for August.
Yes.
Do August. It's nothing like that experience of a writer painting beautiful black people, man. Heavy black people, rich characters, complex men, you know, sentient black men, you know, things that we just don't get to see.
Layered and mortal.
That's why they
mortal. Like, they're
exactly.
not immortal.
Yeah.
They just layered
and
mortal
talking
men.
About, of course, talking about their plight in the American experience, if we can use that phrase, but also talking about family and brotherhood and just common things that we all go through as humans. That's something I think that, you know, it chips away at all that exoticness about the black man and just presents him in an honest light. We are as vulnerable and as, you know, normal as anybody else. And we deal with racism. You know what I mean? You know, but it's important
not
that people
see.
Not
to fill the bucket up too much.
But it's important that people, you know, see that. And it's like, okay, because we all talk about racism now, but there's also there's a full man there. And he's been a master. He was a master at just really, really bold and rich characters, man. All of them. All of them. There's no small role in any of his pieces, man.
It's
beautiful stuff, man.
So let's transition into the other side of the craft. I know you have done a lot of film work also. You know, I'm just gonna mention one of my favorite shows that I've ever watched on TV was The Leftovers on HBO with Justin Theroux. Y'all need to bring that back. Y'all just left us hanging in season 2.
I
don't know why y'all did me like that, but you heard it here first. Okay, I even know what episode he was on because I was stuck. I was glued to the TV every Sunday waiting for it. So
beautiful story,
man. It was such a great show.
Great show,
and it just disappeared on me, and I cried. But
it was
okay.
Funny, man, because let's be clear, that I did some day player work on the show. I'm not going to sit in front like, you know, I was on the set, and got to meet Regina. And I did get to meet Regina. She's amazing, man.
Too,
she's amazing. But I got cast in that show, and I got booked, and I didn't know the show.
Mm.
And so I started trying to binge it. And so I remember sitting in my Jeep the morning before the shoot, and I'm like on episode 3, I think. And so I'm, you know, and I of season 1,
mm-hmm.
and they're shooting season 2, and so they. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, all right. But I'm just watching to try to get what I want from it. And then the actor that I'm doing a scene with that day comes in there on his own episode. Mm-hmm. That episode where we get to meet his little origin story and all that stuff. And that episode hooked me. I was like, whoa, this is deep show.
It is
is good. I was like, okay, I'm fired up now.
Yeah.
And so we shot that day. And then I binged it all night that next night.
You know, to know that I knew you in that, like I knew you then, but I didn't know you were in it. I don't know if anybody. I didn't talk to you.
No, but, no, we didn't.
But
we
I was locked in
it.
For that show. Yeah. I mean, when I say my favorite show, I'm sitting there, and you know, it was like at the beginning. I think it was like episode one or two. It was like right at the beginning.
Yeah, it was like
episode, inside of the church, and you just appear on the screen. I was like, yo.
Yeah, episode one.
That was one of my greatest TV moments because I was like, cool. I love this show so much.
Look
and
it,
you
man.
See somebody you know, like,
look
oh,
here,
yeah,
man.
Man.
I mean, yo, dude, that's HBO, man. Yo. Come on. I mean, I've been watching HBO since I was knee high at this table, man. and so when they dropped that second series, I'm sitting there. I happened to be at home alone because everybody was gone, and I keyed it up, man, and watched myself on screen. I said, oh my God, that was amazing. I'm like, man, I just did an HBO episode.
Yeah.
I can't believe it.
Yes.
I'm thinking about maybe I should start looking at addresses in LA. It's about to happen.
Blast off. Right.
I'm now, baby.
Blast
let's go.
Off. Yeah.
But it was awesome, man. Yeah,
that's kind of why I made the segue. Like, just give me some insight for people who may not know. Like what the difference or the transition is as far
from
as like from stage
to
film, you know.
Man,
I know there are commonalities, but
right.
there are definitely some differences.
Well, you know? I mean, know that it's a motion picture business. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's just the masters will say that there's no difference, and I get what they're saying, and you know that there is no difference between in the craft.
Yeah.
It's really just the window in which you're watching it. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and so everything that you would do on stage, according to the theory, you can do in film.
Agreed.
It's just that you do it in the window, you know, and so you have to just be cognizant of what that is. And when you're on stage, it's your whole body's out there. But your intention, your delivery, your physicality, all that stuff is valid, right? You know, so and I'm not sure if I've even mastered it because you know what I'm saying. It's different.
Yeah,
they get just like now, man. You get them big $500,000 cameras sitting up there. They got three or four of them going. It's like okay, everybody quiet.
I learned my lesson because I move a lot. You know what I mean? Like you know, on stage, like just right now when I was like, yo, like you know, you probably don't got to do that on camera. You could have just been like, yo, but you know, that's my issue.
Exactly.
What I learned, like. Yeah. I'm always out of frame. That's how I usually land in the window, right?
And then I went the other way, you know, trying to just make it all small, and you're just not interested.
So it
took a while to try to turn in decent auditions and stuff like that. But I guess the in terms of transitioning, you know, there's a lot more. There's a lot more work on your part, you know, to be able to start, you know, reasonably, you know, trying to book. I mean, there's a business that you gotta handle to get into those rooms. You need to find an agent. You need to get a really really good headshot. Get a reel together. You know, and nowadays learn how to self-tape. With high quality and you know good audio and stuff like that. You're selling a visual product and you know all that is, and I'm not saying I'm all that great at it, you know, but
it does make the difference. It makes all the difference.
It just makes a difference. With stage acting, you know, here in Houston we don't do the agents for the stage in some other parts of the country. So I mean, you know, it's on the actor to just find out, make sure he and she knows about the auditions, go to the auditions, you know, and go hopefully make callbacks and that kind of thing. Yeah. Film moves at a much different pace, you know, and then and it's fast and it's slow.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You gotta be ready to move, you gotta be ready to go, do something on location, you gotta be able to move.
Yeah.
And don't waste your time if you're not ready to move or do something for, you know, if you can't, it might do you more harm than good for them to like you and be like, well, you can't make, you know, what?
Yeah.
You know, that kind of stuff. So being agile and all that, and that's kind of where I am now. Yeah. It's just trying to make sure I get my situation before I try to do another run at it, you know, because I've been kind of quiet on it.
Yeah.
Because I know I can't move around too much, you know. And so, I can't. You can, they're allowing a lot more self tape for that first look, which is great.
But then you still, you're still going to have to run somewhere.
You're going to have to get for that callback. Yeah, if it's a big title, they're going to want to see you in person. Yeah. And you're going to have to make that run. Mm-hmm. And so, you got to be in a position to make that run. Mm-hmm. And I'm not right now. So stage is what I'm, focusing mm-hmm. on. But the day will come, man. If the Lord say the same, brother.
Amen.
I will be trying to get back on. Film, man.
I mean, to talk about the stage, because you are, of course, very, very seasoned in your craft towards the stage. So, I mean, what do you gauge as the state of theater? I mean, we can go like more globally, but you know, as far as like how Houston is and what Fade to Black is gonna be bringing, you know, soon enough. But like from what the theater scene was, I mean, culturally, you know what I mean? I'm not trying to be divisive, but culturally, you know, what is it from then to now? And like, is it getting better, or is it kind of stagnating at this point?
It's getting better. I mean, when I first got started in 94, or trying to get started in 93 in acting, I mean, you know, there was the ensemble. And there was the ensemble, you know what I mean? That's the one I knew about. It was Harold Haynes that had a theater at that time too, not to leave Harold.
The ensemble and encore theater. I agree, because I mean, still kind of like that a little bit now. But personally.
And people that are dedicated to doing works of black playwrights. Mm-hmm. And so, and you would hear about things that popped up here and there, you know, at the various theaters, and you knew who they were, the other theaters that were around, but it wasn't a steady diet of black roles, you know, out there. And so, so now from then to now, there's more theaters that are willing and looking at black scripts, and portraying black life as part of their season. And that's wonderful. There are theaters that are doing a lot of non-traditional casting, for roles that weren't written for African American actor, and that it can step into those roles if it's non-race specific, and that's wonderful. My personal opinion on that, though, since we're talking in a critical arena, is that I care less about inclusion and I want more equity, you know. And so I don't. I applaud, theaters for the stuff that we just discussed in terms of, non-traditional casting and doing a play written by an African-American playwright once every couple of years or so, or 3 to 4 years or something like that. Okay, great. That's fine. I don't think that's the long-term solution. I don't think that and I know that some of those theaters are coming from a very honest place. I get that too. And they really want to do the work, and that's great. And I want to do the work with them. And I'm doing the work with them. But I think looking at the whole landscape, there just needs to be more equity in terms of the money that is available for artists of color to do their craft. I feel like there's a huge drop off in what's out there. And so, there's enough of an appetite in Houston, to support more plays. There's more people who want to see black work on stage, I think, than maybe the general consensus believes that there is. And so, there's a demand out there for black work. There's a demand out there for black actors. This vehicle is one of those things that is proving that is out there. And so, masterful theater can be done on a real high level by a number of companies. And we can get out of thinking, we have a black company, we have this company, we have that company that does. No. It's just, do what's, if the demand is there, supply.
If you made it easy, like without the exception of the ensemble, right? Like, if the ensemble were to do like what? Like only August Wilson plays, right? Like, at any point in your life, you may have like an opportunity to be in a show, right? So when you look at the programming of these theaters every single year, like, I mean, that's my go-to. Like, as soon as they release the season, you know, as actors, what do? We go straight there and look at all of the shows. First, see what the shows are. Then see what the cast are. And then be like, oh, okay, well, this clearly is not for me. And the idea of knowing that in for what maybe I'm gonna just go out on like 60% of the theaters that are in Houston, about 80% of their season is like, I guess, not for me, right? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So you got 60% of the theaters and 80% of the shows that they are producing throughout the year aren't really like for me, right? Like specifically, like just right mm-hmm. off the bat. But mm-hmm. like you say, you know, not the inclusion, I want the equity, right? Like I can get included in one of those shows, right? As like a, you know, those one-off characters mm-hmm. that probably wasn't written for me, but I mm-hmm. may bring a skill set to still, you know, pull mm-hmm. it off. But, mm-hmm. but when you, like I say, when you read that, when I read the season, I'm not even processing that as something that I could gain on my own. Like it wasn't even on the list of shows that I could be in, but now I'm in it because of, you know, how it could work out. And it's just, for me, that's how it's been. Like that's how it has always been for a while. And you know, it make me sad. Cause it's like I said, like you say, it's the ensemble and the ensemble. Cause it's like, I may not get cast in every show at the ensemble, but I know it's something there for me, right? Like, no matter what.
Right.
But,
and there's not an expectation that we should, you know, be working 5-6 shows a year or anything. Yeah. And I don't think any actor here is demanding or wanting that. It's just that, you know, that there is, we can make space for something else in this city. To be clear, I'm not purporting that the theaters, you know, PWIs or anything like that, y'all need to do more work or anything like that. They do the theater that they want to do, and that's their right. That's what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to do the works that they want to do. This is why I'm more about equity. I'm like, because we should be able to do the works we want to do in a market that supports it. You know, you would not go into a theater going market and say, you know, that there's too many theaters or anything like that. The proof's in the pudding. If people are coming, then the work is there, and we should do better. I think with the available money that's out there for black art, should be out there for black art. And I think that it's too hard on black theater companies to try to do it, you know, to try to produce works. And there's a lot of artists that should be working more, you know, and can be working more.
I'm not trying to take away. I like to think I work a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like with or without. Now I'm not saying a lot of those things were my first choice or like my original idea of like what I would have cast myself in a season. But you know, work is work. Like that's why we're here. Like perfect the craft. You can only do it till you get out there and sharpen the knife, you know? But in light of that, like knowing about theaters that are like taking chances and pushing the envelope from their normal programming, which brings me to a great point of you are currently involved in a upcoming production outside.
I want a disclaimer here. Yeah, because
it, that's the equity though, right? Like it could, but before we get into what it is, like we can preface it, like it could just be a show that is not programmed culturally for African Americans and mm-hmm. people, like there are black people just in it, but you know what I mean?
Right.
It feels more equitable than just inclusive.
Right.
Absolutely. I mean?
I agree. Yeah. And there's narratives and stories out there that are going to speak to that and have that kind of content. Absolutely. Yeah. We're growing as a society, you know, you know, people from different backgrounds are intersecting in all kinds of places, in the workplace, you know, in education, all that, you know, there's so thousands of stories to be told that are not just about, you know, that dichotomy. It's going to be about a lot of different things that, that include a lot of people from different races. And that's great. But yeah, that
so what show is that?
Main Street Theater, I'm gonna let you intro. Main Street Theater is gonna premiere Thomas Melanson's next play, Sagali and the Funeral of a Dangerous Word. And and to Main Street's credit, this will be, I think, my fourth show there. And one of those shows that I did there was a show produced by, a show written by Thomas Melanson, The Laws of Storms. Becky, you know, Becky is a warrior. I know that it comes from a for real place with her. You know what I mean? She knows that's how I feel about her. And I wouldn't cast any kind of, shade on anything that they do over there, you know, and all that. Cause she, you know, they've proven that they want to do works by, and not only, Thomas, but, you know, minority works, you know, works by women. They've done Y York. I've done two of her plays over there at Main Street, and both of those were premieres. So their agenda is about doing those works that probably won't get done at the big Lord theaters and stuff like that.
Exactly. And that's why I mentioned that. When you said I'm a fan of the equity, you know, mm-hmm. I couldn't evade that fact without thinking about this show.
Oh, absolutely.
Stagley and the Funeral of a Dangerous Word.
Yeah.
Opening March 30th through April 16th, I believe. I happen to be finally sharing the stage with this wonderful actor here.
I cannot wait.
Like, this is going to be our first time sharing the stage together, actually get to speak words to
each other.
And we also are going to be directed by the incomparable Mr. Errol Anthony Wilkes. I can't even do the accent.
I know. And he's glad for that, I'm sure.
He might have hit a home run with this. That's all I'm gonna say. He might have hit a home run in that room.
All the talent in that room. I said, man, this is something.
When people get on their feet, it's special.
And that's the thing, man. Theater is not just about the what hits the stage and what gets purported in front of the audience. We know of the importance of that. We know the power that it has to change lives.
Yeah.
But the community between and among the cast members in that company, mm-hmm. you know, it feeds us. Mm-hmm. You know, actors need that. We know it's a business, but it's also a journey, a personal journey that we're on. Yes. And so make the
work so much more easy.
Oh, absolutely.
Getting
to work with people that you always want to work with and this kind of thing, you know, having fun and talking about the craft and learning from the old heads and the masters, you know, and this is about all of that, you know what I mean? And it's all encompassing. So something like this, like with Piano Lesson, but also something like this with Stagger Lee, man. I can't wait.
Yeah, man.
I can't wait. That's all I can say.
Hey,
that's all I can say.
If you ever see Mr. Timothy Eric in a show, you might want to be there March 30th. But if you never seen me in a show, you might want to be there March 30th.
You want to see this brother. This brother.
You definitely want to see this one, man.
This brother is special, man.
He's so good.
Brandon, you special, man.
Thank you, man. I keep saying, I'm just trying to work. Especially not, just let me keep working. I'll figure out the rest of it later. I promise you. But before we conclude, we always like to do a little thing here on the fade. It's our faded forward, right? Yeah. So, like I like to say, is the game is to be sold, not told, right? Mm-hmm. So, if there's anything that you would like to give away for free.
Mm-hmm.
Any kind of free game you would like to impart to anyone, any type of advice, constructive criticism, good, bad, or just something that you've seen in your days of working that if people did this, maybe all would be right, or direct the ship in another way, you know, whatever that is, you can look right into your camera and give it to those people out there, give them a little bit of free game, something forward to the people.
Man, I think that, as I mentioned a moment ago, that acting, theater, you know, performing arts is a very personal journey, you know. Always know of that the importance of feeding yourself, of surrounding yourself with people, not just people who are always amazed by what you do and always complimentary, but people who are critical of you and that kind of thing. Be able to take criticism, but you're on a spiritual walk. You're on a different path with acting. The roles will find you. You just got to be ready to receive them, and you got to be asking the right questions so that those roles come to you. So this is acting is an opportunity to learn about the human experience. And so whatever questions are bubbling inside you, the script is going to find you. That's going to give you some clues to find that it's a journey. It's a walk, you know, and I think because of that, the universe will always put the work in front of you, you know, if you're ready to receive it. If you're looking, it's going to hit you. And the business part of it, you're going to learn on the way, and you're going to make some mistakes, a lot of them, you know, and some of them going to cost more than others. But in the end, if you're centered and you know, that you're trying to become a better human being, be a better part of the human family through art, it's going to reward you, you know, and that's not something that you learn and you move on. Okay, I'm moving and shaking. It ebbs and flows. You in the pocket sometimes, and sometimes you completely out of the pocket. You know what I mean? And so it comes and goes. But I think knowing the importance of the work that we do, the fact that we really change lives, we change people, you know, we change outlooks, we add something to people's lives that can't be removed, can't be erased. It's a real emotion that you share with them, and that they feel it, and they take it out of there. That's why people come to the theater. They come to be transported, transformed. They come to be changed. And once you accept that responsibility as an artist, you're going to get the work that's meant for you to get. You're going to change the people that are meant for you to change. And you're going to be changed in doing that. And you're going to be filled up. You're going to be full. And the money, man, and all that stuff, you know, and it's easy for me to say that because I don't have any. but look, man, you know, and I think, but yeah, just know, the importance of this craft. This craft is old. It's a reason this craft has been around longer than we have record. You know, this craft is mystical, it's magical, it's powerful, man. So I'm glad to be a part of that family. I'm tickled to death that anybody thinks something of my work. That fills me up, man, because I'm always in awe of other people's abilities and stuff like that. I'm a blessed artist, man. I really appreciate y'all.
Oh, man. Yeah, man. Thank you, man. Yeah. Thank you, Tim. Yeah, you know, it's my pleasure, man. My pleasure, man, as always, here, bro. Man. Thank you. Thank you for stopping in to the corner of the fade with me, man.
No doubt, man.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, man. Sure. We'll get back with you very
soon.
No
doubt, man.
Thank you.
Call me.
We will. Once again, thank y'all. This has been another episode of The Fade. I'm your host, Brandon Morgan, sitting here with our wonderful guest, Mr. Timothy Eric.
Yeah.
And we will catch you later.
Yeah, no doubt.